In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that very hour. I don't often give the title of my homily within the giving of the homily, because and sometime maybe I could come and do an education class or something on how we go through the preparation of a homily. But I use the title. That's basically, if you're writing a paper, that's my topic sentence. And I'm really pray and meditate on this. And when I read this gospel lesson, there was a verse that came to me out of the 15th chapter of the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. And it's a very important epistle lesson because it's in the Requiem Mass. And this really just brings our liturgical calendar, where we're about to come up to the Sunday next before Advent. It just kind of brings it into a culmination, into the focal point. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Now, where we have come from through the season of Trinity, we've learned a lot about Jesus, we've learned a lot about his kingdom, and we've learned a lot about salvation, where we're coming up to the end before next Sunday. So by studying Jesus and his heavenly Father's kingdom and our salvation, we've really found out the who, the where, and the how of Christianity. We found out who Jesus is. He's fully divine and he's fully human. We found out a lot about his ministry. We found out about his teaching and his preaching and his healing. We found out who has rejected him and who has accepted him. And we would have never expected to turn out that way. I know Jesus didn't, because the chosen race actually did not recognize him. They rebelled against him. They rejected him. We found out a lot about the kingdom of his heavenly Father's kingdom, that he taught in parables, that we have learned about the kingdom parables, where they start out, the kingdom of heaven is like unto. And we've learned about our salvation through the belief of Jesus Christ as the Son of God. So we now find the focal point of St. Matthew's Gospel. Here's another focal point. Jesus Christ is King. Well, two Sundays ago, we celebrated Christ the King as our Lord and our Savior, that he will be exalted to the right hand of his heavenly Father. Jesus Christ is King. Well, we now have an occurrence of Jesus overcoming death in the glory of the power of the Father. Can Jesus overcome death? We're going to find out, and I think you know the answer to that question. But let's meditate for just a moment on a verse from the book of Job. If a man die, shall he live again? Shall we live again? We rejoice in the Lord's salvation that he extends to all who truly believe in him as the Son of God. You know, in Luke, there was a series of three parables. It's the parable of the lost coin. It starts the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the prodigal son. And in the parable of the lost coin, it ends up with, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. Over one. Each and every one of our souls is important to God. Jesus came for us, for each one of us individually. So this is the purpose of our gospel lesson. We're being taught that the righteousness of God, being Jesus Christ, is the author of our salvation. Now, our gospel lesson contains a miracle within a miracle. The woman with the issue of blood being healed is really part of the resurrection miracle. You see, where we have Jesus healing, he healed the woman that came and just grabbed the garment, that she said, if I could just touch his garment, I'll be made whole. Well, Jesus healed the physical, but yet her her spiritual was healed as well. He went with Jairus, the ruler. He healed the daughter, but he healed her spiritually to bring her back, to resuscitate her back to life, but yet he healed the physical as well. So if you think about it, when Jesus heals, he heals the physical and the spiritual. They're just intertwined. And we get this message from the general epistle of St. James, and that's a whole nother study within itself. But just know that the spiritual and the physical are intertwined. And when Jesus heals, he heals both of those. Now he heals in this world and in the next. Because in the next, everything's new. A new heaven, a new earth. We get a new body, and we're going to be with him for all eternity. We see through this miracle within a miracle how Jesus reacts with his people. He's accessible. All of his tenderness, all of his sensitivity, all of his gentleness, and all of his majesty and power are exhibited within these miracles of healing and with the other miracles of healing and with his preaching and his teaching. Well, we find that Jairus is a ruler. St. Luke says that he was Rosh HaKinneseth, which means he's the chief elder. He's the spiritual leader, a man of great influence in the synagogue, and especially at the synagogue in Capernaum, because that's where he was the chief elder. Now, the gospel accounts, they're very clear that the Jewish religious establishment, that they publicly declare the teachings of Jesus to be contrary to their religious discipline and practice. They despised him. There's some other words that could be used to describe their feelings toward him, but we're in church right now, so we'll just leave it at that. They resented him and had already begun to plot his death. And this chief elder, Jairus, he comes to Jesus. He comes to Jesus in faith. There are some commentators that say, well, he came to him in faith, but it was just because of his healings. He came for the miracle. He was desperate about his daughter. He was. But let's listen as we progress through this gospel lesson, and I think we're going to find that it's just a little bit more than that faith in the healings. Jairus knew. He knew that there was something better. Better than the Jewish temple law. So he came to Jesus in faith. And he came to Jesus as a father. He was concerned about his daughter's well-being. Now both miracles stress the action of faith in God's miraculous healings. To begin with, the ruler's strong faith in Jesus is shown not only by his words. Now here we go. It's not about the miracles. Behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him. With worship, they say that he was prostrate in front of Jesus. He worshiped him saying, my daughter now is even dead. He didn't know that she was at that point, but he knew that she was in bad health when he left. So she may have already died, but we'll find out a little bit more about that later. But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Why would the chief elder come in a posture of worship to Jesus? He's the chief elder. They don't believe in Jesus, but nevertheless, he came in faith and worshiped him. He came in humility. He came in his need. He came in his desperation. Yes, we do approach Jesus in desperation and sometimes. Yet he came in faith. He came in faith to the one who in his love and in his compassion heals those who believe in him. Jesus, seeing the faith of the ruler, arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. He didn't ask any questions. He could see through the man's faith that he was concerned about his daughter and he wanted him to heal his daughter. So he stood up and followed him. And then we've got this miracle within the miracle. And immediately a woman, which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years, came behind him, touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. What a display of faith. At this point in time, St. Luke's account of this miracle within a miracle, Jesus states, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. He perceived that virtue had gone out of him, and the healing of that woman was immediate. It occurred right at that point in time. Well, now Jesus wants to know who touched him. The disciples saying, with this crowd, are you kidding me? Everybody's been rubbing up against everybody. Why do you want to know who touched you? But this is not out of wanting to rebuke a person, but to comfort them in his love for them. When the woman finds that she is the object of attention in the crowd, she came to Jesus trembling. She fell down before him and declared before all the people the reason that she touched this man called Jesus and how she was healed immediately. Jesus just simply declares, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Well, the Greek verb sozo means to save. It's our salvation. It means that one's faith has literally saved them from perishing. Then Jesus tells the woman, go in peace. The peace that Jesus gives is to those who have made their peace with God. This miracle within a miracle is for an important teaching that Jesus is accessible. He doesn't suspend his healing power because his attention is elsewhere. He didn't tell that woman, say, look, you wait right here. I'll be back at 3 o'clock this afternoon and we'll talk about what we need to do with you. He took time with people. He took time for everyone that came to him with a concern. He heals based on faith, period. Thy faith hath made thee whole. How many times have we heard that in Scripture? Thy faith hath made thee whole. He then continues to follow the ruler to his house. In the gospel accounts of Saints Mark and Luke, it is recorded that the ruler received word that his daughter had died and that he shouldn't trouble the master any further. Well, in Saint Mark's account, Jesus tells the ruler, be not afraid, only believe. In Saint Luke, Jesus tells the ruler, fear not, believe only. He said it twice. And she shall be made whole. Jesus took Peter, James, and John, along with the parents, right past those professional mourners, the flute players, and all the crowd in that house, saying unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. He went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And you know what he did? I have a feeling that that room was in the back corner of the house, and when he grabbed that girl's hand and she arose, Jesus and the daughter and the parents and Peter and James and John, they walked back out of the room, and I can imagine it was about as silent as it could be. Because here comes the girl walking with them, and they thought she was dead. He told them, she only sleepeth. What Jesus is saying, that for a believer, you cannot treat death as death. Death is not the end. Death is not our final end to our journey. God is our end. God is our subjective and our objective end. You must treat death as sleep because it is temporary. It's temporary for a Christian because Jesus is our salvation. We close our eyes in this world and we open our eyes in the next world, and there's Jesus right there for us. This is the culmination of the teachings from Trinity season. Trinity is a season of growth, of being nurtured by God's love for us, His Son, in whom we have our faith and our belief. We think about faith as being powerful, don't we? It is very powerful. But there's something else as well that's powerful, and it's unbelief. I want you to understand that unbelief, which is sown by Satan, is powerful as well. It is unbelief that brought a curse on all of humanity. It is belief that brought up the fountains of the deep and brought down the rain from heaven and drowned the entire human race. It is unbelief in the Son of God that brings about eternal damnation. It is unbelief that brings divine wrath. It is unbelief that brings about the forfeiture of eternal life. It brings about eternal judgment, which results in eternal death. That's where we don't want to go. We do not want to succumb to temptation. But if we do, we have Christ. So what do we do in order that we don't compromise our salvation by unbelief? Well, in the account of the Bread of Life discourse, Jesus teaches, "And this is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day." This is Jesus' promise of our hope. We carry God's promise in our hearts and in our souls that our faith and belief will be nurtured and brought to fulfillment in His heavenly kingdom by the one sent by the Father as that babe of Bethlehem, the King of kings and Lord of lords, our Savior. Amen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed all might, majesty, power, and dominion, most justly do this day, both now and forever, world without end. Amen.